Learn to forgive. Learn to forgive. You like that? You
like that?
You like that? Oh my God, we're back in our old days. Hello, everybody. You look funny. For some of you that understand that, it's not a place that I'm grateful for. What I'm grateful for, that I'm no longer there. Amen. But what I'm more so grateful is that the forgiveness that God has granted us comes with a stipulation. Most people and most churches won't tell you this, but I've learned that the Word of God, and I've understood that without studying this Word of God for myself, and in that study, His Word in the Gospels, and that's the book of Matthew where we were at last week, and why we call it the Forgiveness Project, because this is a process that for me to remain in forgiveness, I must give forgiveness. Because without the giving, I cannot receive. And that's almost in the giving process. Come on. I know a lot of us don't like about offering time, but you know, if you don't learn to give, God will never be able to give back. And then that, what we're talking about this morning, is going to be that we brought out some scenarios, you know, because unforgiveness, that's it's a horrible attachment in our lives. Because all of us somewhere will be in a place of being brokenhearted. And some of you say, well, I don't understand. Well, come on, your first love, puppy love. How many know what that means? You know more about love than anybody else, and then it gets broken. And what happens? Your heart is broken. And that's what we call the broken of the heart. But, you know, some of us have faced traumas, or we have been in place and positions where there's no way I'm going to be able to do what God is asking, and that is forgive those because what they've done to us. But how many know that we're not greater than God? No. How many know we are not greater than God? And so if His Word speaks it in the book of Matthew, like we read it last week, forgive them and you as I forgave you. Without that, there's no attainment of forgiveness. And without that, we won't understand that the forgiving and receiving of forgiving is an art of an exchange. It's a divine exchange that's necessary that our lives receive. Because I don't know about you, but I was raised to be racist. I was raised to be prejudiced. I was raised with a weird household. Come on, help me hear somebody. My mom married an individual who didn't like Mexicans, but he married a Mexican. What is up with that? Only to come find out that, you know, his real nature is Caucasian, but he was not even Caucasian. He's half Native American. So how can that be that you do not like this group, but you're married to one? And the weirdest part about it, and this is the hardest part for some of you to receive, I believe in being honest. I believe that we should be transparent. There's nothing to hide because I am no longer over there if I bring anything out that's from over there. As far as even yesterday is over there, even though we had a great time yesterday. For you that understand, know that what we did here, we had a great time. And we thank God for that time. But even in that sense, when that person that married my mother that we called a stepfather, when he got to his place of not being in his rightful mindset because he was an alcoholic, he would listen to Mexican music. Now watch this. I was told that there was a speaker here yesterday that was better than me. That's right. He said he was better than me. And I'm sitting right there listening to the man speak. And the only reason he was better because he could not, number one, he could not even understand the words that he spoke because it was all in Spanish. In yesterday, right? But what it is good and it's cute is we forgive him. Because I see it in humor, but it's all in humor. Because oftentimes we don't understand the language that God is trying to speak to us. And what He's speaking to us is not nothing that we cannot comprehend. It's been written, and it is written, that even a farmer understands the Word of God. And it's important that you and I, as Christians, understand that if a farmer could understand it, I'm not exempt. And so understanding where we're at this morning, we talked about a lot last week, and we're going to continue, because right now, to me, to receive a forgiveness and give, it's an exchange. And it's for the greater. And I want you to know, whether it's a trauma, bad decision making, a bad relationship, and it, we can go on and on and on and on and on. We can go all the way to being abused as children, being bullied, having a horrible boss. Because how many know horrible bosses can affect you? Come on. Yeah, if you're honest, horrible bosses can affect you. Or arts or words of loved ones towards you. You're good for nothing. You'll never be good for nothing. And that puts you in a place that I'll never forgive you for saying that about me. So the art of exchanging forgiveness for forgiveness is going to put us in a position that we have no realization. It's true freedom. But I must tell you all this right now, and you must get this deep down in your heart. Forgiveness of others is not about them. It's about you. Forgiveness will always be about you. Say me. You see, when Jesus died on the cross and He said the most important words up there, He said many words. The people heard Him speaking. But what they didn't hear is the part which is the most important factor when He said, "Father, forgive them," because they don't know what they are doing or done. And again, we're going to bring out one more time. They weren't asking for forgiveness. So don't you be waiting for somebody to come and ask you to forgive them. The scriptures teach us that if you, us, have an ought against someone, it is our duty to go to them and tell them we're sorry. And that's the hardest thing you're going to have to face to do. We call it eating crow. And I don't know what crow really tastes like, but one thing I've learned, I'm going to carry a bottle of Tabasco because I know it will kill anything. I'm a guy that likes sauce on everything. But what we are learning in that passage where we learn, it connects God's forgiveness with us to forgive those. And as we move forward in the book of Isaiah, prior covenant chapter, you know, when we release forgiveness, it removes us out of the quicksand of unforgiveness. And when unforgiveness is released from us, your mind begins to change. Your heart begins to change. And I don't know if you know that God calls our heart hardened. Because it can be very stubborn. How many believe that? And sometimes we don't realize that what we're forgiving is actually what God is forgiving us, because we make the same kind of mistakes without realizing. How many agree to that? How many know that oftentimes what has come at you is because we have done to them without realizing it somewhere in life? Because God's always right, church. I'm going to tell you, He will always be right. So when He says, "Do unto others what you want others to do unto you," so learn this, be careful, walk in what, this is why in the word of God, in the book of James, He says, be slow to speak. I've never heard some people speak so much as in the church. But the Bible says the opposite. Be slow to speak and swift to hear, slow to anger. And the reason that those things can't take effect is because oftentimes we don't realize we really haven't released the forgiveness toward others. And that causes us to remain in an action of what's from the past, which should never be in your present. Come on. The only thing that should be in your presence from your past is that God has forgiven us of all we've done. You may not let me forget, but I know God has forgotten. Oh, some of you don't like that. The spiritual law of this, it's a kingdom dynamic that you don't realize that whether it's bitterness, fear, pride, or control, God invites us to exchange ashes for beauty. That's what this unforgiveness releasement does. Isaiah brings it out in the 61 chapter. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. My tablet was being stubborn this morning. I said, oh God, what did I do? And I already knew, you know, it was acting up yesterday and this morning it continued to act up. So again, you know, what you go to sleep with, you wake up with. Come on, how many know that? It wasn't acting up. And it finally started acting up when I'm walking out the door, but it's out of battery. So I had to go back to the real thing. And how many know we got several real things? So this morning I decided to bring the Amplified. But on the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah, we're going to see about a spiritual maturity is the art of divine exchange. Spiritual maturity. How many know it is our duties to mature? How many know that we have adult children that need to mature? Well, you look at why there's no maturity in the home, especially if it starts with the mother and the father. Hello, somebody. I know you don't want to hear that, but we're not here for that. And we want to read... verses 1 to 3. Amplified version says like this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes of those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, on verse number 2, the year of His favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And now our text, number 3, one of the longest verses you'll find in the scriptures. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of His favor, and the day of His vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. To grant, verse number 3, consolation and joy. How many know you need joy? To those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament, a garland, or a diadem of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of expressive of praise instead of a heavy, heavy burden and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. How many understand what ashes mean for beauty? How many understand that we need joy this morning? How many realize that if we have received the Spirit of God in our lives, that one of the fruits is joy? Along with, of course, love, peace, and it's the third one that you're reading in the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter. You're going to see love. You know, you can have love and still have unforgiveness. You realize that, right? Because who we are. You can have peace, But it's not the true peace that the scripture, the 14th chapter of the book of the Gospel of John says, peace I give you, not the peace that the world gives. See, you can have a peace with and still have unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is what is a challenge, because freedom doesn't come without a price being paid. Somebody had to pay a price for it to come. Prior to what we read in the Gospels, as Christ was given, how many know that the book of Matthew's 18th chapter is a great chapter for you? For you that don't know the Bible, start reading the Bible, because you're going to have so much knowledge with wisdom and understanding, but you need truth behind it. In that chapter, probably around the 21st chapter, I believe, Peter's asking a question. Well, how many times do I need to forgive that person? And he didn't expect to answer. And the Lord says, you must learn to forgive 7 times 70 in one day, which equals how much? 7 times 7? Anybody, come on. Where's my fifth graders? Are you smarter than a fifth grader? 49. 490 times in one day. You got to learn to forgive. And it says that person. So if you got five persons, what's the 5 times 500? 490. We don't want to go there. We'll call the fifth graders up here because they're fast and have the ability. But you can do it because you have it in your phones now. Come on, somebody. And the reason that we can't have this, what God has promised us, because this is a promise, but it's an exchange, church. If you don't come to the place, come to the altars. How many heard that song at that? Come to the altar. It's a choice. You'll never have to do anything that God is asking you to do. However, it comes with a price. Just like everything else comes with a price. And some of you like The Price is Right. My mother used to love that program, The Price is Right. Door number two. Number three. You know what? Why are you doing this to me? Why can't you just give me what I want and let me walk away, right? But it's an exchange, like we're hearing now. What God has come. It took somebody that was going to come. The prophet was prophesying of somebody that was coming, that was going to be anointed. How many know that the anointing is what destroys all the yokes? The anointing of the Almighty God, and that anointing that was given to our Savior Jesus is now given to us. However, it will not take away, and this is how you're going to have to learn this. Learn this. I don't care what you think you can't face. The only reason you will not face it is because you love it too much to let it go. In other words, let me bring it home. God will never take nothing away from you that you love more than Him. And this is when we talk to certain people, the reason you can't come out of that is because you love it. You love the character too much. You love that more than you love God. And it's hard to understand this, church, but here, this is why it's called an exchange. See, I'm forgiven. It was a song of death. Oh, now I have a reason for living. Yeah, you're forgiven, but the day's going to come that if you're not dealt with, because God deals with everybody, how many agree? He deals with everybody. And He's going to deal with it. And you know who He's going to deal with first? He's going to deal with those that stand behind His pulpit. Because if we don't preach the gospel, woe to us. Because we have to answer for everything that every one of you will hear. No matter who and how many times they attend or they're with us for years, if we do not tell you the word of God, and one of them today is, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, then you don't realize you're not walking in the forgiveness that God has given. It's His word. Come on. And this is why there has to be an exchange somewhere. I have to be able to give to receive. Jesus was the Son of Almighty God. And we know that in John 3:16, the famous chapter, everybody memorizes John 3:16. For God so loved the world. that he gave his only begotten son. And see, it's then we leave it at that, because we stand that whoever believes, well, if you believe, you're going to learn to belong. Do you know Satan still trembles? Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. They hear Jesus, they tremble. You just can't see them. And they don't want you to understand that they tremble at that name. But if you don't know the scriptures, Jesus' obedience brought perfection, completeness. Obedience to what we know as the cross, to what is known as your forgiveness. See, God gave his son for the purpose, it was the worst time of life again, as it was in the days of Noah. This time, years later, here we are again. And I'm telling you today, church, here we are again, because it's getting ugly out there. It's getting nasty out there. But it's in a different realm. And that realm is, he's using what you like the most to deceive you. Because deception can only come when we allow to be and are allowed to be deceived. And the scriptures teach you, do not be deceived. Galatians says, whatever you sow, you shall reap. God will not be mocked. How many know that? God will never be mocked. Oh, help me here, Jesus. So in this art of exchange that God so gave us, in exchange, we are given to him back. But for us to attain that, if Jesus had to obey to the end, and we know that he wanted out. We know that at the garden, right? He wants out. You may not see it, but it's not written all the way as it should be, because we don't have enough time in this world to have everything that is written. But when he went out there into that garden, and he made the statement, let this pass me. This one is too hard. You see, he is human just like we are. He was human to the place that he had to say it. I can't do this. I don't want to. And that's us today. Oftentimes, we don't want to forgive. Oftentimes, we don't want to love. Come on, especially if you're on these freeways where we don't know how to drive. It's always the other person's fault, but it's you also. But in that, you know, we got to get to the realm and be honest that I don't want to. How many agree? How many of you had to fight to come to church this morning? Think about it really, really hard, and don't lie to yourself, because God already knows. He already heard your thoughts. He already heard the arguments. He already heard the statements. He already saw the mindset. And the good news is you won. You resisted. Who did? You did. You resisted. It took whatever you had in you, but you did it, and you're here because God wants you to hear. Forgiveness is for us. Peace is for us. But there's going to take an exchange now this morning for it to happen. And that exchange is that we give back now forgiveness toward all of those or any one of those that has caused the bitterness in our lives. And if we don't know, Hebrews talks about bitterness. Bitterness not only affects you only, it affects everybody around you. Because sooner or later, it lashes out. One wrong word is said and boom. I would say there was a cartoon when I was growing up. And there was a little guy that was called Vavoom. How many know Vavoom? He was a cartoon, a little guy, but when he said Vavoom, man, he was loud. A little character. You know, boom, and that's what bitterness allows, because it just strikes you because what was stricken, and here you are, born again, saved, part of the church, part of the staffing, dedicated in doing all that the church tells us and what God asks of us, feeding the poor, the hungry, in the missions field. But the second something comes and strikes you, boom comes out of you. And they don't care who's around you. That's because that's what bitterness does. And that's what the book of Hebrews describes. That bitterness affects everybody. Be careful for that. Come on, somebody. I know because I had to deal with it. I had to be dealt with it. I didn't know that I was a bitter person deep down inside. But Isaiah has taught me that I can turn my ashes into beauty. I can turn what was hurtful, traumatic, prideful, controlling, into the opposite of what God now provides. But I have to exchange it, as Matthew's told us in his 6th chapter, to forgive others for what they have done to me. Come on. When you learn to forgive others, do you realize you're actually going to be doing something good for yourself? Say myself. You're going to start releasing revenge. How many know revenge comes? Come on, some of you know, especially when it comes to, I can't wait till this happens to that person. Wait till it happens to you. You ever said that? Wait till it happens to you. Maybe not to the individual, but you said in your mind, I can't wait till they face that. They don't know. They've never been through what we've just experienced. I can't wait till that happens. That's because you have revenge. That means you're still bitter. And God doesn't want bitterness in you. That doesn't make you who you're supposed to be. Yes, he knows that happened. Yes, those things did take place, absolutely. But you know, revenge? Also in there is retribution along with judgment. You know, bitterness always wants to be paid back. It goes with revenge. But this morning, God is trying to release us because he wants you to have the greatest life. You know, we all like John 10:10, right? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. However, Jesus ended it with, but I have come that you may have life, life more abundantly. See, I don't look at what the thief comes to do. I look at what our Savior has done. And that is come to exchange this thief for the goodness of God. You know, he's come to destroy for the greatness of God. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to steal the greater of God that he gives us. Oftentimes, you don't know how the great one is in you. Even when you have seen him and the song has said, you know, we have seen him do this, he's never let me down. Oftentimes, we forget that he hasn't let us down. My wife said it, right? We have led God's song so many times. How many agree to that? You don't want God to show everybody all that we've done wrong to the Lord, right? We don't want God. Well, we should probably to bring remembrance, but his goodness, because he's not through with us. Philippians says, you know, he'll complete it until the day he takes us home. But you got to be careful when that day comes, because a book is going to open, according to the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter, a book's going to open. And he's not going to ask what church you attended. He's not going to ask what denomination you believed in. He's not going to ask you what position you had. He's not going to ask you what they did to you. What he's going to ask, let me see if your name's in my book. And we read in the 6th chapter of Matthew's last week that if I don't forgive, I'm not forgiven. And that's the only way that stays in that book. So in the art of exchange, we need to get to the place that we can now remove revenge, retribution, and judgment, and we exchange it to receive redemption, freedom, peace, and healing. Did you know unforgiveness brings all kinds of sickness into our bodies? What it does to our hearts, what it does to our minds, what it does to our organs. It's amazing. And so as God is trying to reach out to us this morning in the second part of this forgiveness project, Repentance is not just a mindset for the mind. It is an exchange for the mind. Set. Book of Romans, 12th chapter, church. I didn't think we were going to go there today, but we're going to go there. I'm doing good with time. Not that I care. You get Romans chapter 12. You can fire me if you want. But in my bylaws, I put the church, the pastor has the final say. I have a board, but the pastor, but in our bylaws, I'm going to let you all know, in my bylaws, because we are legal by the government, which I can't stand, but I'm legal. And I just found out I can now back up those who I approve running for offices, and they cannot do anything to us. It's about time that came back. Come on, say amen. Never mind. I'm legal beagle. You can't fire me, but I can sure quit. And if I quit, you're in trouble because I shut the place down. I'm the founder. Hello, church. We founded this ministry. We started in a park, 1985. And here we are today. I'll sell the place and move on. But that's not going to happen until Jesus takes me. And then I'll leave it to the board what to do. Come on, say amen, somebody. But even in that, we are telling what the board to do. We're going to speak like Jesus speaks, even though he's not here. But he's with us. Come on. Again, repentance is not just a confession, church. It starts with confession. But it's an exchange of the old mindset for the mind of Christ. Chapter 12, book of Romans. Verse number 1 says, I appeal to you, brethren, and beg of you, listen to that, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, means separation, and well-pleasing to God, well-pleasing again to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Here's our text. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after the adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed, by the entire renewing of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, that you may prove for yourselves, listen, for yourselves, what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the things which is good and acceptable, perfect in his sight. For you. This is your journey. It's not about anyone else's journey. It's about you. How many realize that this morning? How many realize that this, what God has chosen you, he's chosen for him. And his idea for him of you, us, them, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Come on, but he has a plan, purpose. But what you're going to have to deal with is in that plan and purpose of this renewing. Because I know the biggest one I fought in forgiving is myself. Because I know what I've done. I know who I hurt. I know every walk of my journey of life, and that was the hardest one. I can forgive all of you. I can love all of you, but I would not let you love me. Are you here? Because inside, I couldn't forgive myself. until God had to come directly to me and say, are you greater than me? And then we know that, of course, we're not greater, God. How could it be? If there's anybody who even thinks that, I don't understand how they would even come with that thought. And then he had to let me know, well, then forgive yourself because I have forgiven you. So, wow, God. And so now I've learned that I can forgive myself as I have forgiven everybody else. He had to show me. You know what he had to show me? The deep places where you all know where self-hatred is in, self-pity, and self-loathing took root in my life. But the goodness is he shows you. And he then comes to deliver you. Because the good news is he's not through with you because you're still in this world. For all of those that have gone home as of minutes ago, because somebody's dying every so often in seconds, they're over. It's over. And our hope is that God spoke to them. And our hope is that God was there before they gave up the last words, because the last words is forgiveness. But the worst part is, if they didn't hear it by someone like us, because the pulpit lied to us like it likes to, because we're so into numbers. And the Bible never said to create a mega church. The Bible says, go and make disciples, followers, discipleship, disciples of who he is to follow who he is. Not who we are, what we desire, what we want. I'm a businessman. I can flood this church out with gimmicks. I can flood this church with things that you won't know. I can flood this church, but I've learned no way am I going to face my God with what I know. I fear my God today, meaning I'm not afraid of him. I have so much respect for him. It's called a holy fear, a holy reverence. I don't like what I see, but I've learned that it's God's issue now. I don't control other ministries. I don't control other places. I am the pastor of this place. And when you attend here, I am still the same. I'm not going to change. I'm going to tell you about a true living God that has a true love. And in this true love, he has brought all this for us. And we got to understand what that cross did for us. Come on, church. Some of us don't understand what that cross has done for us. We don't realize the suffering, the punishment. We don't understand how deep it goes. But I'm going to cover that next week. To walk with God daily is to get to the place, and I'm going to leave you with this. When he says examine yourself, as we showed you last week, the instructions about the gentleman, the pastor that was going to leave the church because his eyes were everywhere except on where they need to be. The eyes need to be on God, nowhere else. Amen. Nowhere else. He didn't call you to come and see what the church is doing. He says, come and see what I'm doing. Hello? And I'm going to tell you, when you keep your eyes on the Savior, you're in a good place. When you start seeing what he brought you for, it's for your maturity levels. Because we're always growing. Come on. We're always going. And to walk in God's way with a reverence, if the devils tremble, can you imagine? They tremble because they're afraid of him. Because they already know what they did was wrong. And the worst part is we can't pray for them. No, that's the best part. I can't pray for Satan. I can't pray for any of his believers. They are judged. There's a hell waiting for them. You can't change that. So don't let nobody come there. We got the church of Satan. If they wake up, they're in trouble. Because where they're going to wake up next, if they don't wake up now, and that's our prayer to pray for the church of Satan. Come on. Our job is to pray for everybody. Come on, no matter who they are, what they've done, it doesn't matter. Our job is, because we have a love, because God so loved the world, we love them. Love not what we're doing, but I love them. As you walk in this forgiveness, especially towards yourself, and you start walking with God in with a fear and a reverence, and His Spirit in you is now going to begin to walk freely with you. And next thing you know, He's going to start revealing the unsearchable areas called your heart. Because only He can search the heart. Only He can go into the depths of this heart. And He'll start to show you. First and foremost, what do you think He's going to show you? He's going to show you you. Because He's at that moment, it's you and Him. How many have seen the footprints picture? There was only one set of footprints, right? Right? Have you seen that? And they want to know, well, where are you, God? He goes, that was me. I was carrying you. Paraphrasing the picture. Where were you, God? I'm right here. I can't stop what was coming, but what I can do is help you through it. Come on, church. Because if I don't help you through it, you may not realize what's coming behind it. And what that will do to us, if we're not careful, it triggers. There's that word, triggers, unforgiveness. Come on, church. And as He begins to show you the unsearchable hidden areas of your life, you may not realize it. Now truth can run its course. And now John's gospel and his word says, you shall know the truth, and the truth now sets you free. And then it goes on to say, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that is the will of God. Come on, church. We just read it on the 12th chapter. Be not conforming. You shall know the will. The will of God is that you know the truth. And that truth sets you free. Come on, somebody. Stand to your feet. Thanking the Lord for everything He's done so far today. Come on, say amen. Thanking the Lord for John and Lydia's first